We're constantly looking for validation to justify our want, our personal want. Because you guys, every single human out there wants a whiter, brighter smile. Everybody. Yes. We're just trying to justify the value of fitting it into our life, either financially, emotionally, or time.
Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm your host, Dr. Tim Anderson, and we're on the Digital Smile Hub right now, where we try to simplify all things clinical-based or clinical aspects of dentistry. So, I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm really excited for summer and what's coming up, mainly because it's just like living in North Dakota, the summers are so short that I'm like, I just need summer. And it's been kind of a crazy last couple of weeks in my own practice, like everybody's practice. We're trying to get all things done with our kids and all that. But like many of you, I've been in this struggle of finding the right team members still. And 2 weeks ago, we added a front team member, and last week we added a new associate dentist, and then this week we added two new hygienists. So it's been like a whirlwind of craziness in my office. But one of the things it's really kind of helped me with is like slowing down to speed up to get them going. And I kind of like, it's been really nice having a little bit more time to teach and mentor and guide some of these new hires. So it's been crazy. It's been fun, but it gets me really excited. But that's not why we're here today. We're here today because I want to get straight to the point, because we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics in dentistry, which is 3D printing and emotional-based dentistry, and specifically a topic regarding digital trial smile and emotional trial smiles. And so I have with me one of my favorite humans and dentists and people. She's a ton of fun, crazy, crazy smart, knows so much about this, knows so much about it that she actually teaches it, but has truly, I'm like a big fan of like when people teach things, it's, there's one thing to just teach it and not practice it. Dr. Allie practices this and does this in her own practice every day, and does it in a really, really cool way that I'm like, we have to share how we do this. So without further ado, welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, Allie Fromfelter. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that kind introduction. I'm really excited to be here.
We are super excited to have you, because this topic is so much fun. I don't know about you. Like I have, like this has to be one of my favorite things that I do in my own practice.
Yes. I mean, I love it and our team loves it. So that makes it even better because everybody gets super excited. So,
For those who don't know you, who are you? And, you know, I kind of told who you are, but like, tell us a little bit about yourself and then, we'll kind of go from there.
Okay. Well, like you said, I'm Allie Fromfelter. I'm from Evansville, Indiana. My husband, Adam, and I owned a practice, All in the Family Dental. And we've got three kids. We're busy with them, girls, 12, 10, and 8. And we just love all things dentistry, and it's a ton of fun. So we kind of do everything at our office, from fillings and crowns all the way to, you know, full mouth rehabs, full arch implants, root canals, all of it, you name it. So, and then the smile trials have been just an added bonus for kind of, you know, all aspects of dentistry. So,
yeah, like, so for those of you who can't see us and are maybe listening to us in the car or on a podcast, we also have the YouTube version or the video version of these. And so for those of you who can't see, I'm in Bismarck, North Dakota. But Allie, where are you? You look like you're in like a really fancy studio right now. Where are you?
Yes, I'm in Sully's fancy podcast studio in Nashville, Tennessee.
What are you guys doing?
We've been here since Wednesday. I'm here with my partner, Dennis Alex, and we are at the 3D treatment planning course. So just kind of learning to, you know, basically digitally plan smile design cases, again, whether it's, you know, for cosmetics or full arch, just you know, where do the teeth fit in the face, and being able to recognize that and treatment plan, you know, in a digital way. So, and it's taking those concepts that you learn at COIS, Sphere, Dawson, you know, all those places, and kind of, you know, formulating into a simplified method. So it's really cool. You should check out the class.
Well, it's like every time I hear about a lot of these courses, especially for those of you who haven't like gone to any of the 3D dentist courses, like I'm going to do a shameful plug of like, you're missing out. I mean, it is a culture-based thing, because I just have not seen other continuums and program stuff that is so focused on team integration and your team learning together, growing together. Every time I hear about your guys' courses that anybody's doing, I have like instant FOMO of like, I wish I was in Nashville right now. But
yes.
They also have a lot of courses in Raleigh. Dr. Trent Agarwal and T-Bone and those guys do a lot of stuff down there as well. So, Allie.
Yes.
With regards to like, all right, let's get on this, because this is going to be good.
Okay.
And I'm not really sure where this is going to go, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I know. So with regards, like the reason I love, first we got to talk a little bit of backstory before we start jumping into trial smiles, because I think a lot of people when they hear trial smile, they're like, what the hell is a trial smile?
Right.
And so we're going to get there, folks. But with regards to, I think before we get down that road, I think one of the things I want you to address, because you guys do this so well in your practice, is addressing kind of like from a patient-centered aspect or patient-focused experience, and specifically like that patient journey, like how people make decisions, and kind of talk a little bit about that within your guys' practice, or just people in general when they're coming to you guys, because you guys do a lot more than just like single tooth dentistry. You guys are doing like
sure.
a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's not hard to tell somebody, hey, you've got a cavity, you need a filling, or you need a crown, but to kind of be able to show people what's possible with their mouth if they're not happy with it. You know, there's different ways to do that. And it's definitely a more emotional-based decision than just, you know, transactional, like, sure, I'll come back for my crown and my filling. So being able to kind of show people those things, like your wedding dress, you try that on. You know, when you go to buy a car, you test drive one or several, you know, so you get a feel for it. It's not just, you don't just go and say, I'll take that one and leave. So, you know, doing something, you know, with your teeth or your smile that impacts your whole life is a big decision. So, you know, I think there's different ways to do that. And there's different ways I've done it along, you know, my journey the last several years, with kind of the first one being photography. So, you know, we do a ton of photography in our practice. If you're not doing that, you should be. It's hugely impactful. And I'm not talking about the little intraoral camera that you put in someone's mouth, like an actual camera.
Is funny you bring that up, because, you know, like I said, I have a new, I like that. So I said associate dentist. I love what you say. You guys, you called Alex your partner dentist.
Yeah.
I love that term. So it's amazing. It's what we say and how we say it is very important in a lot of stuff we're talking about right now, but I really like that partner dentist thing. So little pearl tip.
She's awesome. Yeah. Team. We always have a team and not a staff. No one wants to.
Staff's an infection, right, you guys?
That's right.
So what? Interestingly, I was talking with my new partner, Dennis, Tom. And for those who don't know you or don't know me, I'm 5'8". And my new partner, Dennis, is 6'8". So you can imagine the discrepancy between the two of us. And it's Tim and Tom. So it's kind of funny. But I was talking with him, like my practice, we have a ton of technology, and we've really utilized that as one of our pillars within our practice to attract patients and all of that. But I was talking with him where I'm like, he kind of asked, like, what's the most important piece of technology that you have in your practice? And as I'm sitting there looking, I'm like, okay, some people might say cone beam, some people might say intraoral scanner, lasers, 3D printers, GBT, all these things. And I'm like, without a doubt, by far, it was the easiest question to answer. I'm like, photography. I can't do anything without photography. So I think that's such a great stepping stone for people mm-hmm. trying to do more emotional-based dentistries, jump into photography. And like you said, not the intraoral little, you know, picture of a tooth. Because if you take a picture of a tooth, what do we do?
Tooth dentistry.
And so we want to do, you know, little baby pictures. So not to hijack that, but I can't emphasize enough photography. You guys know me. I love photography. So
yes.
Keep on going.
Yes.
So photography has been like kind of the first step for you guys.
Yes. Yes. Photography was kind of the first step. So I'd start, you know, we did it as a team. So we started, you know, just documenting cases at first. And then now every patient, whether they're recall or new patients, gets a series of photos every time that they're in. So put those on the computer. People can see, you know, what you're seeing in their mouth. And it's just so impactful. And, you know, so starting with that, so, you know, we'd have patients that would be interested in maybe changing their smile or doing something. And over time, you accumulate enough cases that then you can like, oh, let me show you a picture of one I did that's just like yours. You know, so it's somebody else before and after, but it's like, you know, you're trying to show them, here's what's possible. So they can kind of get it, but it's not, you know, it's not them. So it's hard to picture, you know, that could be me. You know, it's not me. But it was a good starting point for sure to be able to kind of just and almost prove that, hey, I can do this.
I think it gives
credibility, validates credibility. Your skills. Yeah.
But it's like I said, it's hard for people to, I mean, if we think about like people in this situation, like usually the self-confidence is not very high on these cosmetic cases. That's very different than like an enhancement case. But especially patients that have just been 10, 20 years and are just ready to move to that next step, they don't believe sometimes that that can be them. And I think you're right. There's like this dissociation if we just show a before and after and we kind of miss the point. So totally agree with that.
Yeah. So then you could kind of get a little more personalized by, you know, kind of taking their picture and kind of, you know, your iPad and drawing, you know, teeth where they could be. And, you know, that was a little bit better way or just another way. But it still wasn't like the true connection. You know, that person couldn't say, oh, you know, here's me with a fake white chiclets in my mouth.
Totally. So how did you guys level up? Like, so because I think that's what a lot of people are doing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, everybody kind of like we chuckle, but everybody knows this. Like, we've all been there where we're like putting up those little stencils of teeth.
Sure.
And we're like, yeah, if we just lengthen your teeth here, move the gum tissue up, like your smile could be totally transformed.
Yeah.
And patients are just looking at you like you're just drawing on a picture. Like it doesn't really resonate. Where I do think the stencils work really well, on a side note, is with lab communication. So patient facing, it's kind of garbage. It doesn't really work very well. But on a lab side, showing your lab technicians of where we need the wax ups, where we want the incisal ledge or edge positioning, where we want buccal corridors, I think that it has some use. But from what we're talking about of more of these cosmetic cases to move people forward, I don't think they do a whole lot. So I agree.
Right. Yeah, so then we kind of moved to, at least in my journey, I would send, you know, basically send pictures to the lab. And then I would say, I think I sent them digital impressions too, but, you know, I would say, hey, can you do a mock-up for this patient and basically like put the different teeth in their mouth so they can see what's possible. So again, there's the before of themselves and then there's the after, but kind of with fake computer generated teeth. So still like a good, you know, oh, hey, you know, this is what it could look like, you know, or do some photo editing app or something like that. So it gave them, you know, again, a little bit more personalized version of what's possible, but it wasn't, you know, quite there. So from there, I would have the picture that the lab sent, and sometimes I would have them send me back, you know, their waxed up model, whether it was digital or, you know, traditional wax. And then, you know, we were like, oh, well, we could probably try this over their teeth, you know, since we have the wax up. So we would have them in, you know, you've got your waxed up model, and then you basically take like a PBS, you know, impression of the waxed up model, reline it with, you know, soft, I don't even, yeah, the light body stuff.
Like a light body material,
like,
yeah.
I can't remember. I think I told somebody that I would quit dentistry if I had to go back to taking impressions.
I'm like, do we still have that in my practice?
Yeah.
I think we do. I know for sure I don't have alginate, but I think I have VPS. I do have VPS.
Yeah. So anyway, so we would take a mold of the waxed up model from the lab, reline it, and then let that set. Then when the patient was there, you would put like ProTemp, temporary material, LuxTemp, whatever you have, put that in the putty matrix, put it in the patient's mouth, let it set up for 3 to 5 minutes, you know, take the putty out, and then the magical wax up was on top of their teeth so they could smile although it was really bulky and there was a bunch left on the roof of their mouth and, you know, all, it was everywhere.
But, I mean, we laugh, but it's like that, I would say that that's probably the method that most people are doing. Would you agree?
Yes.
I mean, that's,
yes.
That it's a yeah. very traditional method to do it. And there's a lot of added benefit. I mean, it's so much better that I think than like just the photograph, because now I think what you've just done is you've moved a patient into from the digital world
yes.
into the physical world. And I yes. think that is one of those aspects along this journey of the patient's decision making and driving value for what comprehensive aesthetic dentistry can do. Mm-hmm. Moving them along that journey into the physical world is a key component of
yes.
this. And
yes.
and this is a great way to do it, especially on like those additive wear cases, like bulk it
yes,
up, show
those
them.
Are great.
Mm-hmm. A tip for everybody. This is a great use for expired material.
Yes.
So yes. if you have that expired material for temporaries that you're like, huh, what am I going to do with this? Just hold on to it. Yeah. The one thing I will advocate for is utilize like B1 or bleach or yes. something really white. Yeah. And the reason for that is, yeah, you don't want to use D2 or something like that. You want to, or A3. You want to show them a little bit of like a transformation, because if it just looks like bigger yellow teeth, that may, yeah. they may miss the point. So
yeah,
I would encourage that. So no, I think yeah. that's the, so all right. So you kind of hinted that. So like you do this, and one of the things on a flip side from a clinical aspect, just to help newer dentists or people that aren't doing this, Ali talked about relining that VPS impression. That's really important. Because if you just do, like, especially like me in my practice, I use like the VPS putty when I'm doing this, yeah. and you just don't get as enough detail. And by yeah. if you just quickly take an acrylic burr and wipe out the inner proximal and then reline it with a light body, I mean, you don't have to put adhesive or anything, you just like squirt it in.
Right.
What you'll see is crazy amount of detail.
Yeah.
And it's really nice. You get a lot of flash on the palate and stuff like that, mm-hmm. though. But what, Ali, I know you and I agree on the same thing. What is like the worst part of this whole process of doing it? Yeah, it's really beautiful, but there's two aspects that I can think of that I'm like, this yeah. is the limiting factor on yes. this method, this traditional method.
Yeah. So it was cool because the patient could hold the mirror up, look at themselves. We would take a picture in this, you know, temporary material over their teeth so you could have a before and after. And, you know, that was definitely more real. But the worst part is you whip that up in like 5 minutes and it's beautiful. And then you spend the next 25 to 40 minutes trying to peel that stuff off their teeth. And usually I would be like, leave that to my assistant and I'd go do something else, but they'd be in there forever.
I feel like every time I did this, it was always the patient had these massive cervical embrasures and
yes.
that stuff would just lock in on
locked
every
right in.
Single yeah. tooth. So yeah, it looks really great.
Yeah, Brandon probably wanted to kill me.
No, okay, sure. So yeah, it's a total pain in the ass to get off. What else would you see as like from a decision-making factor? What else would you feel like this is like a very limiting impact on the patient?
It's not repeatable. So, yes. you know, it's yes, in yes. and then you got to like cut it out, or it comes out in like 100 different pieces and you can't like, oh, can I see what that looks like again? You know, you've got the picture, but you can't. You know, you can put it back in, but then they'll be there for like 3 hours.
Well, and I love that you brought up like, this is the problem with being a guy. And, you know, yeah, I'm married, but I didn't really try on a tux a bunch of times. Like, I just, here's yeah. the tux. But like wedding dress, like, yeah, you like try it on and you try on multiple dresses and you may go back and try it on again. Like part of that process of repetition is so important from a psychological aspect of decision making. You're mm-hmm. reinforcing your decision, and to be honest, you're slightly rationalizing it. And if you don't believe me, I know all of you, anytime you're looking for anything, a new kitchen appliance, a new phone, a new car, whatever, what do? You look it up and then you go to YouTube and you watch every single YouTube video review that you can find on this topic. And we're constantly looking for validation to
yes.
justify our want, our personal want. Because you guys, every single human out there wants a whiter, brighter smile. Everybody.
Yes.
Yes. We're just trying to justify the value of fitting it into our life, either financially, emotionally, or time. And so we're trying to look for this. So if we give them one shot, and then they go home and they tell their spouse, like, it was amazing. And their spouse is like, well, what would it look like? Like, And they're like, well, you just have to believe me. It looked great. It looked really good.
Yeah.
And like, we're missing the point. Or if they're like, I love it, but then I go home and it's been a couple days and I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I love it still. Can we do it again? You're like, the model's been ruined or something, so that you don't have to do this again. So we miss that aspect of like repeating it and giving a patient the opportunity to try it out multiple times to help reinforce this emotional decision, because we're asking people to invest. I mean, most of these cases are, you know, on the small end, four teeth. And depending on your fee schedule, that's like $8,000 for a lot of people.
Sure.
Or, you know, if we're looking 10 teeth, that's anywhere from 20, 30, 40, or full mouth, $50,000 worth of treatment.
Right.
And so people, like, I don't make a decision that easily. Like, yep, I want, sign me up. Like, we need this easing in. And that's why I think that limiting factor of just one shot just doesn't help us along that journey. It doesn't help us clinically, nor the patient emotionally. So I agree with that. So if the traditional method is not the greatest method, how are you guys doing this? What are you guys doing now?
So,
because now we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. Kind of global picture. We're actually, utilizing our technology in 3D printing and an additive overlay. And then they're able to just try it in over their teeth, but it's custom fit to them. Just putting the teeth
it's like
where they should.
You guys have. So are you getting like a wax up of some sort? Is it like a digital wax up?
No, so we're we're using our intraoral scanners, so we have a STL, and then we're taking pictures, so using photography, and then we're putting overlaying those two things, the pictures and the scans, into an exocad system.
Okay,
and then we're actually able to kind of we have full control.
So you're designing then, so it goes into the computer, and then you're designing like these additive shells that would go straight over the teeth, and then you guys 3D print those?
We do.
Awesome. So then you 3D print them, and then you get to like try them out.
Yeah.
So why do you guys do this? Like why? Like, I mean, to me, I look at it, well, if I could just do the Bisacril, like, why would I want to go through the effort of trying to implement a new workflow? And we kind of touched on a couple of the reasons why, but
yeah.
Why do you guys do it in your practice?
I mean, it's not messy. You don't spend all that time taking it off. And it's repeatable, so the patient, we can try it in, they can look at themselves and then take it out. And then they're like, hey, can I try that back in? They can put it back in. So, I mean, they could even technically take it home with them if you let them, so they can show their husband or, whoever. But it's really cool. And it's a chance to kind of show off our technology too. Like, we have all these capabilities. Like, why wouldn't we? So,
I love that you said that, because what I have found doing this, doing the shell, and we're going to talk a little bit here in like the actual technique of how Allie does this with her team. Cause once you see the workflow of how you do this, you can't unsee it, you guys.
Right.
Like, you, as a patient, you can't unsee it. As a team member, you can't unsee it. Like, it's the way you should do it. It is so amazing.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, it kind of goes back to that why. Like, understanding how people make decisions from an emotional standpoint, when we start moving beyond single-tooth dentistry or 1 to 3 teeth, when we're moving beyond, I guess, like symptomatic issues like cracked tooth, fillings, caries, like that kind of thing, people make decisions differently. And we need to understand that as a clinician when we're treatment planning these or presenting these cases, because that's going to be critically important. Because what I love about this additive shell technique that we're going to dive into is that it allows the patient the ability to go from that digital concept of who they were and then physically show them who they can be.
Yes.
And that is a powerful, powerful tool in our armamentarium to be able to do things for patients, like to bring that back into the physical world and show them. But then you can repeat it. You can take it on and off and on and off, or send it home with them, like I said. So I think from a psychological standpoint, it's reinforcing that decision-making process. And Allie uses a term, and I'll let her talk about it a little bit here, because one of the questions I get in people, like, do you charge for this? And, you know, how do you schedule this and all this? But for me, it's none of that stuff matters, because when a patient sees this, they can't unsee it. And even though they may not be able to, with their schedule or finances or whatever reason,
it may not
fit into their life right now, but when they are, they're nowhere to go. So you guys use a term for that, which I love. You got to share that.
Oh.
For your patient,
Patient stacking.
Yes,
stacking. I think I actually got that. I have to give Paul Homily credit. But, you know, basically you have these patients back and you're showing them what's possible. And, you know, to me, it's, and we'll get into this later, but for us, it's a lot, it's a very team-driven approach. So it's not necessarily taking up all my operatory time. But just giving them the chance to show, you know, them what's possible, the chance to say yes to the best. And even if they're not ready, like, you've got to think about that. Like, the more you do of these, the more you stack these patients, like, one will come back in 6 months, one will come back in 2 years, one will come, you know, somebody will say yes right away. So you just, you know, continue to kind of show them what you're capable of or and what they can look like. So it's cool.
I love that, the patient stacking concept. Like, when you really start thinking about it like that, like, you know, some people always like planting seeds and all that. Same thing.
Sure.
But if you go into the dentistry with that mindset, that's what pays off long term. You're investing in your team, yourself, your practice, your patients, and then that stuff eventually gets there once you eliminate the barriers to allow the patient to say yes to the best.
Right.
Which I think is a great coin term that T-Bone loves to use.
Yes.
All right. So let's dive in now, because we talked a lot about all the high level stuff, like this concept of a shell trial smile. And I really like to use the term emotional trial smile instead of just like trial smile, because it really is more tied to the emotional aspect of moving the patient to yes.
Yes.
And that's why I use that term in my practice with regards to an emotional trial smile versus just we're going to temporarily try it in, you know, like a prototype. So let's talk about this, because you hinted at this is team driven. And and I can't agree with you more that this is completely team driven. So let's talk a little bit about the workflow of, like, all right, a new patient's calling into my office and they are interested in comprehensive aesthetic workup where they're like, I am ready to move forward. I want a new smile, whiter, brighter, bigger smile.
Sure. Yeah. So the patient comes in and, you know, usually in those cases, Brandon will, he's kind of our clinical coordinator, but he also does all of those kind of consults. So he'll see the patient, sit with them, talk with them, kind of get to know them and, you know, just a little bit more about them, what they want, why they want it, those sorts of things. And then we'll go through a full series of the photographs, which he'll take. Just a quick plug on photography. We have a Canon camera that takes amazing pictures that we use for, especially for stuff like this. But every operatory in our office, we have 11 ops, all have a Shofu camera. So I can't say enough good things about that, because the team will use it and it's easy.
Which is funny, because a lot of clinicians will kick back on that, because those of you who don't know what a Shofu camera is, it's a dental specific point and shoot camera.
Point and shoot.
Yeah. It's very, very easy to use. You can wipe it down, all this kind of stuff. So it seems like it'd be the perfect camera. What's the big side downside that most clinicians talk about?
Yeah, the downside is it's not as good as the Canon. It's just it doesn't take as clear, crisp pictures, like the detail. It's not there.
It's a glorified point shoot, and for the quality of the images, it's very expensive for what it is. However, why would you have it in every op then?
To basically break down the barrier of why a team member couldn't take the pictures.
Yeah. And we're going to have to do a whole podcast on photography and barriers to that, because the reason, same thing with me, like, we introduced and integrated the Shofu cameras in all of our ops as well, because of it reduced the barrier of why people don't want to take photographs, regardless of understanding why. It's so easy to use it, that I would rather have those images than no images.
Yeah.
So it's been a very, very good aspect. So
I want to
backtrack for a second, because you said something that I thought was interesting, because I think you guys are at a much higher level than the average practice. I don't think you guys are. Most offices, I think, have a lot of the new patient flows come through hygiene. You guys have it go through one of your coordinators. Well, and we do it the same. We do it a little bit the same way. Do you guys, do all of your patients go through Brandon, or do just specific patients go through Brandon?
Yeah, specific patients. So we try to ask those right questions when the patient calls in for what they're interested in coming in for. And if someone tells us right away that they're interested in changing their smile, anything like that, we'll kind of bring them in through like a consult side. You know, if they're like, hey, I just want to get my teeth cleaned, I'm due, I need to establish care, then we'll bring them in, new patient, on the hygiene side. But a lot of times, I mean, even those patients just coming through the hygiene side end up, you know, transferring over to being a smile design patient. So
if they're going through hygiene, who's, are you guys still capturing all of that, like the intraoral photos, the CBCT? So hygiene and all too.
So hygiene's doing, CBCT, x-rays. We do CBCT, we do bite wings and the three PAs, and then scan, so digital impression, and then the photos. I think we take a series of like 15 or 16 photos on every patient. So,
gotcha. Yeah. So I think that's important for people to hear, because I get a lot of kickback sometimes, like, oh, I don't have time, I can't do this. So I think it's important for everybody to hear. I do the exact same thing. We filter patients mm-hmm. based on needs, and part of that is tied to getting the patient's expectations. So if the patient's expectation is cosmetics, I want to make sure that we get moving on that versus, you know, if we don't do that. So I love that. Okay. So the Brandon's seen the patient, you've got the diagnostic information. What's happening after that?
So after we've kind of got the diagnostic information, you know, I'm coming in to the operatory, he's got their pictures up on the screen. You know, he introduces me, you know, I just talk with the patient. He kind of recaps, you know, just about them, just personally, and then kind of why they're here and what they're interested in. And, you know, and I can't say enough, like, I pull up right next to the patient, like right by their side. And we just have a conversation. You know, I basically, my spiel is, you know, hey, you know, what we're going to do now is kind of click through the pictures. I know you and Brandon did this, but we'll go back through together. We're going to look at your x-rays together. And then, you know, after that, I'll lean you back and, you know, do an exam. So we don't just, you know, jump to the exam and calling out all the things that we see that are wrong. So, you know, going through those pictures is really great, because, you know, I'll tell them, you know, hey, feel free to point things out that you see that you're concerned about or that you want changed or, you know, anything. And then, you know, I'll ask them permission. Hey, if I see things as we go through these pictures, is it okay if I point them out to you? Yeah. So we kind of go back and forth. And then, you know, I haven't had anyone tell me no yet. So usually...
But usually. I like that process, though, think the outside in concept of, like, we start with the bigger pictures, photography and all that, and the radiology, and then we move into that clinical exam. Mm-hmm. I think's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So keep going.
No, I mean, that's, you know, once we get there, do an exam. And I always tell them when we're going through the photos and the x-rays, I try to use just kind of like dumbed down words, not anything technical with them. And then once I lean them back and do an exam, I kind of give them the warning, like, hey, I may call some things off to Brandon, you know, that are, you know, dental terminology. Don't be alarmed when I, you know, set you back up. We'll kind of talk through what my recommendations are. So then they're kind of prepared for that. So, you know, at that point, set them back up. And then obviously if they're there for cosmetics specifically, you know, we'll talk through kind of, you know, what's possible, what I would recommend. You know, sometimes they'll ask for the trial smile, because we post this a lot on our social media and in our website. And then sometimes, you know, we'll offer it, you know, hey, would you like to come back? I can kind of show you digitally, you know, what's possible. You could actually try on your smile and see what's possible. So usually that requires like a visit back, but we always try to do that within a week.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Okay. So the patient's on board. They're like, mm-hmm. Allie, I'm not sure. I want to see what this looks like.
Right.
Or if they're a case where you're just kind of getting a vibe or like, I don't know if they're totally committed.
Yeah. And let me say, I don't slow the process down. If they're like ready to buy that day, we're not going to do the trial smile.
We're going to just present
the options, give them the financials, and then come to some sort of agreement.
Well, what's interesting, I like that you said that, because it's probably the number one reason treatment planning or presentation cases get derailed is because the dentist, A, doesn't shut up. And B, doesn't get out of the way. Just let the patient process. And if they're motivated, if they're asking buying questions, let them buy. Like, move forward. Yes. One of the things I like on trial smiles is when you have that patient that thinks or went to another dentist that wants to do the anterior six, like if I hear the anterior six one more time from anybody, I'm like, it is so few and far between for cases that the anterior six alone is the appropriate treatment plan. But I think dentists are very comfortable presenting that because they feel comfortable. It has nothing to do with the patient or what they need or want. It's they personally. So what I like from that standpoint, if somebody's bringing up anterior six or four, I like to do a trial smile because I can show them what the anterior 10 would look like. And then I could also reprint that same trial smile, cut off everything but the anterior six, and then show them that. And I've never had a patient go, oh, yeah, this six, that looks way better. Let's do that. So it's it helps patients see what they need versus what they have been told sometimes.
Sure. It's really cool. We just did that with a patient she was in, and she's never liked her smile, but she's always felt like things would look fake, and, you know, so she's never wanted to explore it. So we did a trial smile on her, and we did, I think, the front eight teeth, and then we did four because she mentioned four. And so then she could real quickly see the difference between four and, you know, eight.
Can I see it?
Yeah. And then she was like, you know, I really like it, but I don't like that, like, the middle of my teeth aren't in the middle of my face. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, we just need to do a little ortho first, and then we can make you a 10 out of 10.
It's amazing how that works. So, so let's talk about a little bit about, you know, we talked about the backstory of, like, okay, how you guys introduce a patient into the practice like that. But now, if we're going to make a trial smile, what is what does that workflow kind of look like in your practice?
Okay, so we have a dedicated person, Emma, who does all of our 3D printing, and she helps with the design process on this too. So I've brought her to the courses with me, her and Brandon. I can't say enough about that. Like, bring your team with you because you'll be able to go back and do so much more than if you just come yourself. But basically from there, Brandon, the way it works, we have a Google Sheet tracker. So he'll add the patient's name to the tracker that we need a smile design, you know, what teeth, what we're thinking. And then she puts everything into exocad, pulls up the case, and usually she'll start designing based on, like, what's in her head would look good. And then we've done enough of them together that she, you know, pretty well nails it. But I'll take a look and she'll say, you know, how does this look? And, you know, I might tell her to tweak this, or, you know, hey, this person could probably benefit from crown lengthening, so make the mock-up, you know, go up on their gum so they can see, you know, what that could do for them.
So you guys have a dedicated kind of, like, champion of that discipline of the printing.
Yep.
Now, if I, because here's the thing, like, once you start doing this, you start getting into these concepts of, like, having designated roles and design software like exocad and all of that, which I'm a huge advocate for. But for somebody who maybe just got a 3D printer or is just interested, are there other solutions other than, like, buying exocad?
Yeah, I think you can just send it to SprintRay and tell them you want a, like, shell mock-up, basically, and they'll design it for you and then send you the STL back and you can print it.
Yeah, it's actually, it's part of their, what do they call it, their digital design services. It's super slick.
Yeah,
you know,
even if you don't have a printer,
have, like, control, but it's a great solution and it's super inexpensive.
Yes,
and really quick to turn on my phone.
Yeah, even if you don't have a printer, I think they can print it for you and send it to you. So,
oh, that's even cooler. I didn't know they could do that. And you could even use, I know some people that are, if you don't have exocad, like, you can even do stuff with, like, people are nerding now with, like, mesh mixer and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you can do it with, like, other softwares specifically, but I will say, if you want the easiest, quickest, and most predictable way to do it, by far, exocad is the way to go with regards to this. But you could also ask your lab to do it, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, just call your lab, say, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to do a shell temp. Or basically, you just ask them for a shell temp on their existing teeth, and they'll kind of understand what you mean. If you say, I want an emotional trial smile, they'll be like, what? Because that's not one of the exocad options. All right, so you guys are designing exocad.
Yeah, Emma will, you know, at the point that we're like, yes, this looks good, Emma will print the patient's model, and then she usually prints a couple of the trial smiles, just, you know, because sometimes when you're post-processing, they can break or, you know, anything like that. So she'll print two of them. Basically, then she does all the things with the printer. So
do you have to have, like, you guys talked about Sprint Rate. Do you have to have a Sprint Rate printer? Is, like, Sprint Rate the only one who can do this?
I don't think so. No.
No.
You have any printer.
Yeah. I think the key is when we're looking at the printer, doesn't really matter, you guys. I love Sprint Rate. I'm a huge advocate of Sprint Rate. But any printer can do this. What you want to look for is resin. Like, which resin? So what when you guys are doing this, what resins are you guys using?
We're using the Apex resin for these trial smiles.
What is that?
It's like a denture-based resin.
Yeah.
I think.
So that's, I think. You're right. Apex is Sprint Rate's newest resin. It's a nanofusion denture tooth resin. Super beautiful, polishes,
it's really
has awesome
pretty.
Translucency. Yeah. Yeah. Why do you guys like denture tooth resin?
Super. It looks so natural.
Yeah.
We were doing some in that Onyx Tough too, which is a great material. We do our tempers in that, but it just wasn't as natural. Like, this is, I mean, it just looks real. It gives you.
I think that's the thing why I switched to denture tooth too, is that I like to polish it and be done with it, you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, that's why I like denture tooth. The other aspect of denture tooth resin is that it's relatively inexpensive. And they have multiple shades.
True.
So I got everything from Hollywood bleach white all the way to A3, whatever I want to do. And you talked about Onyx Tough 2, which is also a nanofusion. It's kind of like PMMA. So you can use any resin that's like PMMA, works well. Right. So whatever printer system you have, it really doesn't matter. You just want to make sure that print system can print a resin in the denture tooth family. And then you can really do this with any printer. So cool. So you guys are printing it. How do you guys you guys polish, or are you guys doing anything special, fancy, doing anything like that?
I mean, Emma's, you know, she'll take the supports off and then she polishes it really well. Sometimes she'll put a little like OptiGlaze over it and cure it just to kind of make it a little bit shiny, you know.
So OptiGlaze is just a clear coat.
Just to kind of give it like a little bit of a shine so it's not dull. But sometimes she polishes it so well that it's like, don't even bother with that because it looks good. So,
well, I mean, you're right, because I mean, these are not meant to be like final restorations. These are just like, put something in the mouth so we can show you what's possible.
Yes.
All right.
And then from there, it's ready to go.
All right. So
come back in.
You guys, the planning, like, I kid you not, how long does this take you guys to, honestly, from you have the STLs to design to actually fabricating? Oh. Like, in reality, if Emma's like, I'm going to do it, let's do this. Like, how long?
Maybe 15 minutes, half an hour.
I couldn't agree more. It's not very long, you guys.
No.
So that's that. I mean, in theory, you can do this same day if you were planning.
You could, yes.
In theory.
Yes.
I do the same way, you guys. I get the patient back. But it does not take hours of design. You could farm it out. You could do it yourself. I will tell you that when your team does it, they get really good at it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
All right. So talk to us a little bit here towards the end now of your presentation workflow, because I think that is something you guys do so much better than any other office I've ever seen. So talk to us about that.
So when the patient comes back in, if I'm available, I will, you know, go in there and be a part of it. But sometimes, you know, if it's we're getting it back and I'm in a case, then, you know, my either Brandon or Emma or one of our treatment plan coordinators, they know how to do it. But they'll, you know, we see the patient, you know, tell them how excited we are. It's going to, you know, look so great. And basically slide the trial smile in their mouth. And then we'll take, you know, a close-up smile and a full face smile with it in. And then we can be uploading the pictures. And then we'll give the patient the mirror. And we have these lighted mirrors from Amazon, which I copied from Sully. They're awesome. But the patient will look, and then usually we will take some pictures of the patient looking, or a lot of times we'll have our social media gal, Leslie, will pop in and she'll video the patient's response. And then I'm in there, or, you know, one of the team members is in there and just kind of oohing and aahing, and it's really cool. And the patient's like, oh my gosh, I know this is possible.
It's, you know, so cool. Well, you guys do it so awesome, because, like, if you guys aren't following Allie on Instagram, she'll give you her handle at the end here, but they do this in a cool way where, like, it's not just like, here's a camera and let's show you. Like, they position the patient so, like, the patient's facing away from you. And you can see the patient's face in this big mirror that's lit.
Yeah.
And then you see the team member put it in, and then you get to watch their response. It is the coolest thing that really I've cool. ever seen from a marketing standpoint of like,
yeah,
nobody else does this. That it's yeah. so cool. So I got to give you guys major props because like,
yeah.
you know, the photography marketing guy in me was like, oh, that is so good. I am going to so rip that off. I love it. So I think you guys really nailed it because it's hammering out the yeah. emotional side of that connection of like mm-hmm. allowing them to do that. So I think that's really, yeah. really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's fun. It's fun to see their reactions. And I mean, like Tim said, that then you can't unsee it. And most of our patients will start asking now, like, well, can I take a picture of my like a selfie or can I take a picture of the screen? And I'm like, oh, we'll put it, you know, we'll put side by sides on it and text it to you or email it, whatever you want. So usually before they left, they already have it, you know, so they can show whoever they want.
I love that you do that because we do the exact same thing. And I'm going to tell you guys, that has been probably one of the best closing, like we call it closing circle or closing loop from the standpoint mm-hmm. of the communication with the patient because
yeah.
they get home. And by the time they've gotten home, you've already sent the text with their before and after that they can show yeah. people. And I like they're sitting there in the op on and off, on and off. And I always encourage them to bring a spouse when they or another decision maker, loved one yeah. with them, because it just helps reinforce that decision. But having the ability for them to go home and then continue mm-hmm. to look at those photos back and forth, they'll just be like, these are just like quick temporary things they did in a week. Like, I can't imagine what I could really look like right. long term if we do this. So I love that workflow. And if you guys take anything away from this whole podcast this week here, like Allie's team's delivery will change the way people look at your practice because what you really do is you create advocates that way. Like mm-hmm. people will talk yeah. about this because nobody else is doing this like that. And
right.
it's not very hard. And what they do is they then talk about it with their friends. Like, it's crazy. I have patients that like will send me their texts that they showed family members, like, look what's possible. And mm-hmm. their parents and their friends, family, are like, where do you go that they can do this? And then they're always like, how much does this cost? And I'm like, I don't know about you, but like, I do not charge for a trial smile,
no.
like an emotional trial smile, because to me, it's so worth, because we design it ourselves and code, it's the best investment I can make. And kind of doing that. So it's,
yeah, well,
I love it.
Well, and I mean, on that note, it kind of shows you when you design it yourself too, how it gives you insight into like, well, how are you going to actually do this case? So, you know, when I'm thinking, put a trial smile on somebody, my brain's not necessarily going to, well, how are we going to actually execute this? But when you're in there designing or, you know, I'm with Emma and she's, you know, I'm like, okay, I think we can do this, you know, just in the patient's current bite and dentition, you know, or I'm like, hey, we're going to have to, you know, to nail this, we're going to have to, you know, encourage them or at least offer them tooth movement if they're open to it or, you know, and or, you know, gum lift, crown lengthening, that sort of thing. So it helps you kind of see what's possible clinically when you're doing these. So.
And that's, this is why you guys, we all live in our islands and our practices. Like, this is why I love talking with other clinicians because I learned yeah. so much from Allie and her team like this. Like, that was a concept I never really thought about was like how much I learn when I'm designing a trial smile from the standpoint of, yeah, this brings up in my treatment planning phase of like,
right.
what needs to be done. And one of the things that I learned from Sully recently that I just can't unhear is he talked a lot about the way we move patients is we work with patients on case acceptance before treatment details.
Yes.
Meaning
yes.
I'm not going telling the patient on that initial visit, like we need to do this, 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 this.
No.
What we're trying to do is get them to accept the case from the standpoint of their smile transformation.
Yeah.
And then once they bought into wanting to transform their smile, then we can have the discussion of how we do it. You know, you've done treatment planning really, really well when a patient says, I love this. I want to do this. How do we do it?
Yes.
That means
how do we do it? How much does it cost?
Yeah. Because then the conversation yeah. is easy. It's like, in order for us to do this, we got to do a little tooth movement with some aligners. And then we do minimal prep, either veneers or crown lays or whatever we need to do, yeah. Or even additive composite. It doesn't need to be right. ceramic. So
right.
that process, that workflow of how we get to that is something that is so important. But yeah, we get case acceptance before treatment details. Like,
yes.
Sully, way to go, man. Yep. That was a good, that was yeah. a good yeah. nugget.
It's,
I like
really
that one.
Good. Yeah. And so, I mean, I will.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, I think just I've worked on my communication skills a lot recently, but just not being afraid to talk to the patients too about, you know, this could be $10,000 or this could be $20,000 or, you know, we do a lot of financing in our office. So, you know, it could also be a couple hundred dollars a month. Like getting that out there and being transparent is so much better than like, you know, oh, they're super excited about this potential smile and then we're going to like scare them with this $30,000 sticker, you know, and they had no idea it was going to cost that much. So I like having those conversations from the initial appointment too, just some general estimates or ranges or, you know, so then you tailor the plan to the patient.
Absolutely. And yeah. like you brought up finance. When you start doing this kind of dentistry, it is like buying a car. Nobody pays for a car in cash usually. Most people, they have a couple hundred dollars a month is the menu for financial
sure.
arrangements and having good firm financial plans. But with regard to the trial smile like that, it when you do this well, what the emotional trial smile really does well is that it reinforces the why mm-hmm. behind what's possible for their smile transformation. And when people value that process or what's possible, they find a way to make it fit into their means.
Yeah.
People get a new car or lease a car every 3 years. And that's an $80,000 car, and they don't think twice about it.
Right.
People buy the new iPhone every year or every 2 years and don't think twice about it. When we truly value something, we figure out ways to make it affordable, or we have to make it affordable, but they figure yeah. out ways to pay for it. And as long as we have that mindset of making it affordable and giving them options,
right.
people will find a way. Like,
yeah.
Money is not the barrier in these cases.
Right.
Very rarely is money the true barrier because we're talking about a couple of hundred dollars a month. Like,
yeah.
get rid of Netflix or get a yeah. new trial. You can have yeah. Netflix or you can have a smile transformation that will last years.
Right.
So it really becomes showing the patient. But if we just say, hey, you need veneers, here's the cost of, you know, $15,000, $20,000. You got to pay in full before you come. Let us know when you want to start. People are like,
so many barriers.
I'm out. So, Allie, I can't thank you. Like, I could talk with you on this stuff forever. I love this topic.
Fun.
I think it's super such fun. such an impactful aspect, both from like utilizing and maximizing our team members to delivering this wow experience to simplifying. You know, you talked about the case planning. Like, it simplifies these complex, quote unquote, cases that really aren't mm-hmm. that crazy. Mm-hmm. But I gotta say, they're a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right.
So fun.
So if somebody wants to learn how to do this because they're like, Allie, you sold me. This is awesome. How can they learn about this?
Well, so glad you asked that question. We are teaching a class.
That wasn't plugged at all, you guys.
Teaching a class in Nashville, August 7th through the 9th, you know, and it's going to be smile design. So you can, the coolest thing is you will actually learn how to do this and then you can go home and execute it. So all the 3D courses are that way. I can't encourage you enough to like check out, you know, 3D dentists and in their courses because like they give you the knowledge. They don't withhold anything. They give you all the answers and then you can go home and actually do it. But bring your team because they need to help you.
Yeah. And one of the things like this becomes a popular topic and is becoming more and more popular as 3D printing becomes impactful. And so this is one of those courses that I love teaching with Allie. It's a great way for us to just have a ton of fun, but it's amazing to see the light bulbs click on people when they're like, I can't unsee this. I need to do this.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we are only offering one course. We already did our one course this year. So this is our last course of the year. So don't miss out on that.
Spot.
I got to plug. If anybody is, like I said, I have so much FOMO. You guys are out doing the treatment planning course right now. If you guys are interested in more 3D dentist courses in Nashville and Raleigh, check out 3D-dentist.com. Please, 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 you guys, share this content. If this was valuable to you, like, share with your friends. People don't know what you don't tell them, and only share it to cool people because we love hanging out with cool people and fun people. If people want to get a hold of you, Allie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where are you?
So Instagram, Dr. Allie Fromfelter. That's a great place. You can email me, allison.fromfelter@gmail.com.
We're a blast.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions or, you know, help through anything. So.
Awesome, you guys. Yeah. Well, this has been an awesome episode. Please take it to heart. Start thinking about how you're going to transform lives and utilize some emotional-based dentistry in your practice yourself. We'll catch you next week. Once again, Tim Anderson with Digital Smile Hub. Take care, guys.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.